Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody, and He loves you.
Experience
life the way God intended it. That is so critical to men, is that many times we run around with a lot of knowledge, but we fail to take the time to gain the wisdom that's needed to apply the knowledge correctly. And so in the fourth chapter of the book of Proverbs, it talks about this, and we want to just go down through and just see what God is talking to us about as men with wisdom. Looks like we got a caller on the line. Let me see if we can get him on the line. Good morning. This is 4061.
Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning. It sounds like we got Dr. Grimes on the line. Good morning, Dr. Grimes. Happy Sunday to you.
The same to you.
I'm excited this morning talking about wisdom from the book of Proverbs. And it's always exciting to see what God has to say about wisdom, because he's the one that has all of the wisdom. And, you know, from that, he was able to form this world, or this universe that we live in, as we know it right now, from his wisdom, from his understanding of the things that were necessary to form this world and to create us and to place us here as men. And so anytime we can go to the Word of God and get wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, I get excited about it. And so we're going to be looking at the book of Proverbs, the fourth chapter. I'm going to start at verse 1. It says, "Hear ye children the instructions of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor. When thou dost embrace her, she shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many." And when we look at those words, talking about wisdom, it talks about bringing honor to you. It talks about being an ornament of grace and a crown of glory. It talks about years of life. When you see those things as ornaments of grace, crowns of glory, years of life, wisdom has a lot of benefits. And I think if men, particularly young men, and as we're growing up, as we're presented with the principal thing, when it talks about the principal thing or the primary thing, you say to a young man, "All right, this is the principal thing that you need to get." In verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. So when you talk to a young man or any age man, and you say, look, the principal thing for you to do is to get wisdom. And when you get this wisdom, you can get an understanding how all of this stuff starts to work. All of this works together. And as a young man, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to make heads or tails of all of this knowledge out here, what's going on. And if I come to God, who is the founder of wisdom, and say, God, show me this principal thing that I may understand the knowledge that I have to be able to operate correctly in this world that you founded by wisdom, then what happens is the life that he intended for me to live will begin to start unfolding. And when I begin to start understanding that, when things make sense to you, you can move forward. Sort of like when I taught, when I was teaching my son to drive, he had his driver's license this past week, is I told him how to understand the vehicle, understand the operations of the vehicle, and then you'll have a comfort with the vehicle. So now you can pay attention to the road and be able to get from A to B safely, because now you're not just thinking about, okay, where's the blinker? Where's the turn signal? Where's the gas pedal? Where's the brake? Where's this? How's this happen? How's that? I already got that understanding of how that vehicle operates. And so now I'm no longer focusing on that, but now I have to focus on, okay, I got something that can work. Now I can use it the way it's going to benefit me without just focusing in on what the vehicle does. And so knowledge coupled with wisdom will get us to a place where we can operate in any situation according to the way God wants us to do. So when we look at that verse 7, we got to understand, we got to teach, and we got to learn what the principal thing is. And the principal thing is wisdom and getting an understanding. Dr. Grant?
I'm just taking it all in right now, Pastor.
All right. So as far as this thing that we're trying to get in verse 7, this understanding, that means that it's making sense to us. And as men, we need to understand that we can get this instruction. If we go back to chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Hear ye children, the instruction of a father. Attend to no understanding." And so there should be someone willing to teach. And we as men, and we as individuals, should be looking for instructions of a father. Now, we have instructions from an earthly father. We have instructions from a heavenly father. And the earthly father should be looking not only from instruction for the heavenly father, but also from the heavenly father. And so we're getting instruction to our children, to our son, from our heavenly father, and then our son are getting instruction from their earthly father. But we have to be willing to take instruction. So in order to learn how to apply the knowledge correctly, wisdom, we have to be willing to take instruction. And that's one of the hardest things for men, is to be able to say, hey, I need someone to instruct me. It's almost like saying, I don't know everything. And that's a difficult place for men, young men, older men, whatever age men you are, is to say, I don't know everything, but and I realize I need instructions, and I'm willing to submit to someone to teach me. And that's the first thing, especially with a man who doesn't know God. And he doesn't know God, and you have to introduce him to God. And then they have to be willing to be instructed by God on how to operate correctly with wisdom in this world. And so starting off, you have to get those instructions. You have to say, all right, I need these instructions. I'm willing to sit. I'm willing to get instruction. But it seems like it's hard for men who might be strong and might be knowledgeable of a lot of things to sit down and get instruction. Instructions are there to give you the wisdom to how to do it, how to put it together. And so when you're, let me use the example of Christmas, right, and you got a toy or bicycle or something to put together for your child, and they come with instructions. But you have a knowledge of how to screw bolt or nuts on the boat. So because you have that knowledge how to put nuts on bolt, you don't think you need the instructions. But the instructions are there to teach you how to screw the nuts on the bolt in the correct manner or in the correct fashion. And so when you begin to learn how to say, okay, I need these instructions are important, what that does is it helps you to obtain understanding, helps you to obtain wisdom more quickly. And so now, instead of you being in a panic, you know, at 3 o'clock in the morning, still don't know how to put the brakes on or the gears on the bicycle, you read the instructions and you realized that you had to put the back tire on first and put this cable on first in order for you to complete the job. And that's where we have to say, okay, I need to get this understanding. I need to get these instructions so that I can do things in at the right time and the right order. Things in the right time and the right order, what that does is it allows me to experience it the way it's meant to be experienced. So instead of being dead tired Christmas morning, you read the instruction, put whatever bicycle you needed to put together in an hour, and now you got sleep. So now on Sunday, on Christmas morning, you're rested and you're enjoying Christmas Day the way, you know, it was intended to. But if you leave out the instruction, now you're dead tired because you had to take it apart, redo it over and over again because you didn't get the instruction, you didn't get the understanding. So now you're tired, now you're cranky, and now you're not enjoying Christmas Day the way it was intended, all because you weren't willing to take the instruction, you weren't willing to get the understanding. And that's one of the biggest problems with men, is that we're not willing to take the time to get the instruction, to get the understanding, and particularly take the time to get the instruction, get the understanding from God. And when we don't do that, a lot of times we're like that guy that didn't read the instructions for the bicycle or the big wheel or whatever it was that you're putting together. You're frustrated and you're tired. And you get frustrated and you're tired in your life because you don't have the instructions, you don't have the understanding, and so life is frustrating to you. Your situation is frustrating to you. Your relationship with your wife is frustrating. Your relationship with your children is frustrating. Your relationship on your job is frustrating. Your neighbors is frustrating because you didn't get the instructions, you didn't get the understanding on how to deal with them in certain situations. And that's where the Bible is so important. Many people say biblical instruction before leaving earth. That's what the B-I-B-L-E is. But it's so important. These instructions of our Heavenly Father helps us to understand how to deal with our everyday situation. And as men, it is vitally important that we get these instructions, that we get this understanding, so that we can operate correctly, so that we can take this knowledge and we can couple it with wisdom, so that we can operate in a manner that God is trying to get us to go. You still with us, Dr. Grant?
Yes, sir. In fact, there's two things I'd like to say, Pastor. The first is that, you know, as I'm listening to the instructions and listening to the word this morning, one of the things that keeps dropping in my spirit is humility. You know, as men, in order for us to take instruction, it causes us to have to humble ourselves. And then now, you know, in looking at this passage of scripture, I'm thinking back to the other scripture where Jesus tells them that they have to humble themselves as the children. And when you think of that verse and you look back now and you see that here in the word he's saying, follow your father's instruction. Perhaps that's what he meant by saying humble yourself as a little child, because in order to get the instruction, you have to be open to the instruction. You have to be open to say that I don't know it all. You have to be open to say that I need to know some more. And that takes humility, especially in a setting or an arena where maybe other people know and assume that you know. And so maybe sometimes in trying to get the wisdom, in trying to get the knowledge and the understanding, we may end up looking a little foolish because it may be something that people may assume, hey, you don't know how to do that? Right. And we have to be, as men, able to say, no, I don't. I don't, and I need to learn. And one other thing that I want to share, I remember a time I was working at a school, and we bought a basketball hoop, you know, one of those portable basketball hoops that you put outside in the driveway. And, you know, one of the brothers, he was very gung-ho. Oh, I put a dozen of these together before, and he gets to putting stuff together. And now we're like, okay, well, this just doesn't look right. So we go to the instructions. When we get to the instructions, there's a big note that says, please be careful and take note. Make sure that this step is done properly, because once you have connected these pieces, if done wrong, it is irreversible.
Uh-oh. Oh, and so my goodness.
There was no fixing it. There was no repairing it, because the damage was done. The instructions clearly laid it out, so you couldn't get your money back, because it wasn't the product's fault. It was the fault of us for not taking the time to read the instructions. And the last thing I want to add, Pastor, is that when you were talking about following the instructions and getting the wisdom and understanding will cause life to be less frustrating. What a word. What a right now word. You know, what a right now word, because if we would take the time to get the wisdom, get the instruction, and get the understanding, perhaps we would be able to move through things a whole lot smoother, because we would have the direction we need, the guidance that we need, and we would have the wisdom to know when to slow down, when to speed up, when to stop, and when, you know what, maybe this isn't the right road. Maybe it's time to go this way. Because, or not maybe, when we have that guidance, we have that direction, we know. It's not a maybe. We know when we're walking with God, when we're walking in His Word, and we're guided by His Holy Spirit, we're able to then say, oh, no. Time to go this way. Time to go that way. And we will begin to see that the path that we go on is smoother. We will begin to see that we walk into the blessings of God. So many times we as individuals want something from God. However, we're not willing to do our due diligence to get what He really wants to give us in the first place.
That's powerful. Because, you know, like you said, that part, that instructions that fella didn't read, this is where the Bible gives us clear instruction. And it gives us examples, consequences, and stories, and wisdom that others who have gone before have learned. And if we choose just to lay it aside and to ignore it, those consequences become devastating, even to the point with the seriousness of soul salvation. Many people will reject knowledge. The book of Proverbs, it also talks about fools reject knowledge. And that's one of the things that the enemy tries to get people to do, is to reject the wisdom and the knowledge of God and substitute it with the wisdom and knowledge of the world. And people won't take that knowledge and wisdom, coupled with wisdom from the Bible. And when they don't, then they suffer those consequences. But I look at the verse 2 in Proverbs 4, verse 2. It says, "For I give you good doctrine," and this is so powerful. because there's so many doctrines out there. I mean, there's every wind, I think Paul talked about it, every wind of doctrine. There's so many things that come down the road. There's so many ways to do things, so-called plans, so-called, you know, programs, so-called doctrine. And, you know, the Bible says, I simply give you good doctrine. In other words, it's sound, it's practical, and it works. You know, good sound doctrine. And when people turn away from good sound doctrine, they end up missing their blessing, like you said. And so in verse 2, Proverbs 4, verse 2, it's just like, give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. And when he said, you know, tender, it means that, like you were saying about the, you know, learn it, you know, as a child. You know, there has to be a responsibility of the father, of the men, to be able to pull aside their children and say, hey, you know, this is good doctrine. You know, it might not be popular, might not, you know, be the thing that you want to hear, might be boring to you, but this is good doctrine. This is good for you. This is good law. This is good teaching. This is good training. And because too many times there's so many options or so many shortcuts or so many alternatives that people offer, I mean, that make you feel good or sound good, that people don't want to hear good sound doctrine. People don't want to hear good sound law. People don't want to hear what is not the most popular message. And a lot of times the most popular message, the most popular doctrine is not good doctrine. And, you know, particularly when it comes to young men and young women, you know, the doctrine that many teach is go out there and do your thing, get as much as you can, whatever you can. You know, that's the old school doctrine of, you know, need to be a pimp. But that's not good doctrine. That's popular doctrine. But that's not good doctrine. I know last Sunday we talked about the bull, the bronco, and the dog. And you need to teach every young man how to deal with the bull, the bronco, and the dog. And, you know, not be a pimp. And you know, that's the doctrine that a lot of young guys get. But good doctrine is that you need a couple knowledge of wisdom and to tell them that you might know how to be the bull, the dog, and the bronco, but you can't get with anything and everything that's out there. You got to know when to use it and along with how to use it, because if you just go out there with how to use it, you know, then you're really going to misuse it, and you're going to be in trouble with how to use it. And so now you're in a situation because you had the knowledge and the doctrine of go out there and conquer and put notches on your belt with anything and everything, instead of getting the wisdom that, hey, you need to make sure you use this thing the way it's intended to use at the right time, at the right place, with the right person. Otherwise, it'll get you in trouble. And, you know, that's just good doctrine. But if you're haven't been taught from a young man standpoint, this good doctrine, it might not be popular. All your boys out there doing this one, doing that one, getting with this one, getting with that one. And the good doctrine is just slow down. You know, everything that glitters not gold. Don't need to do this. This is something that you need to really think about when and how you're going to use it, because there's consequences for when you drop that seed. There's consequences when you get with that young lady. And so couple the knowledge of how to do it with the wisdom of when to do it. And like it talks about, you'll get a long list of life. You'll have a crown of grace about you. You'll be in a better place if you receive good doctrine. And like I said, as men, we need to put it out there. As let's go see what God says about it. Might not be popular, and that's the thing about men. We can't always follow what's popular. We have to follow what's good, sound doctrine and law. Dr. Brown.
Yeah, that's good. That's good teaching. You know, that's good teaching. As a society, as a people, we like to follow what's in. We definitely like to follow what feels good. But the one thing that I thought about when you were saying that, I could just think back to being a young man, and my mother saying to me, "Everything that's good to you ain't good for you." And, you know, I've always stuck with that, and also thinking about, I hated vegetables. I hated vegetables as a kid, and quite frankly, I'm not too fond of them now. But the reality is that I understand that though I don't like the vegetables provide nutrients that I need. The vegetables are part of having a healthy lifestyle. And if I expect my children to eat vegetables, then I need to eat them as well to set the example. But I also need to eat the vegetables because they're good for me. And that's like you said about good doctrine. Sometimes it doesn't make us feel good. Sometimes, you know, it doesn't make us jump and shout. Sometimes we may even find it to be boring. But if we understand the importance of getting that sound doctrine and applying that sound doctrine, in the long run, we will see the benefits of it because the popular stuff fades away. The trends change. That good old feeling doctrine, or that same good feeling doctrine that was out today, 6 months from now, they'll be, "Oh, forget that. No, we had it wrong, and now it's this." But sound doctrine, that doesn't change. God's word, that doesn't change. And so when we take it for what it is, 6 months from now, we don't have to change our mindset. We don't have to change our goal, our mission, our focus, because our focus is going to continue to be on the word of God and on sound doctrine.
That's powerful. I love the way you said that. It's not going to change. It might not be popular, but you know that popular stuff is going to change. And they're going to move on to something else. But like you said, that good sound doctrine is going to be there. It's going to be there for life. And every word that your mom said is true when she told you everything make you feel good ain't good for you. Doctrine for all these young men that want to be a pimp, and they want to do this one, and they want to do that one, and they want to be with that one. And they don't learn that you got to take care of these children, you got to provide for them, you got to set an example for them, and now you got 4, 5, 6, 7, you know, children out here, and you can't even take care of yourself, living with someone that's taking care of you, and all you're doing is you have the knowledge how to get to feel good, and you're missing the whole boat, you're missing the whole plan, because someone, you know, gave you instructions that you should be a pimp. Or you have the knowledge that everything that comes by that smiles and grins and might look good, that, you know, you need to hook up with it. And you know, that's the feel-good doctrine. But the sound doctrine is, you know, if knowledge is you got to do it, the sound doctrine is do something to prevent creating another life. You know, that's the wisdom behind that. But the doctrine is that to make sure, amen, that you're ready for the consequences of being with that female, creating a life. And, you know, that's the kind of straight talk, straight doctrine, good doctrine that, you know, has to continuously be given to men of all ages, young men, understanding the word of God, understanding how relationships develop, understanding the consequences of being, you know, intimate with a female. Those are the instructions that you got to teach, that you got to continue to reiterate to be able to get them to the point where it's in them and they understand. So when the situation arrives, they know how to deal with it. It's like I said earlier when I was teaching my son how to drive. to get him to understand everything about the vehicle, how it operates, you know, how you know, situations in the rain or at night or where the lights are, where the brakes are, where, you know, all of these things are. So when your focus is no longer on the vehicle, but it's on the driving experience and getting to where you go. So, you know, when you got the word of God, you know, the wisdom coupled with knowledge, you know, now you're prepared for a life, and so now you're not questioning how should I do this, how should I do this. You know, you have an understanding how to do it. So when situations and circumstances arise, because you given instructions, you have an understanding. The knowledge coupled with wisdom, when life happens, you know how to deal with it. You're not going back, oh, what should I do? Oh, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do this. How to do this. You know, you follow the instructions. You got the good doctrine. You got the law. You know, it's been taught to you. You understand it. And so now that you're focused on going down the road, you know, and life changes as you go down the road. There's potholes, like on road alligators. There's tread, that, you know, in the road. There's snow. There's sleet. There's seasons. There's time where you need heat. There's time where you need air. There's time where you can roll your window down. And you know, that's life. But if you've been given good doctrine and good law on how to deal with those things when they happen, when it rains, you know immediately you can put your wiper on. Whether you put it on intermittent, whether you swiping it one time, when it's cold, you know how to put the heat on. You know, you've been given instructions. Okay, I turn this button, turn this button. If it's foggy, I know how to put my fog lights on. My windshield fog, I know how to put my defrost on. If my back windshield is far, I know how to put my rear defrost on. You know, if I need to, you know, roll my window down, I know how to know where my window button is. If I need to reverse, I know how to shift and reverse. And you do it and you don't think about it, because you've been given the wisdom and you've been given the knowledge and how to do it. And so, you know, that's what wisdom is. When you have good doctrine, good law, and you've studied it, and you know how to apply it. That's what we started off earlier during the broadcast, is when you have the ability to know how to apply knowledge correctly, that's when you have wisdom. That's when you have understanding. And that's what men's ministry is trying to, the first word in men's ministry is trying to do, is getting us to the point where we have the word of God, we have the doctrine, we have the knowledge of the law, and we have an understanding. So when life happens, and it happens to all of us, you know, when it's tough seasons, good seasons, rainy seasons, dry seasons, because we have that good doctrine, because we have a good law, because we have that understanding, we can survive, not only survive, but thrive in every season because of this knowledge coupled with wisdom, because of this good doctrine and this good law. And that's what we have to continue to teach from being young and beloved in the sight of our mother. We have to make this a lifelong thing that we continue to do. Dr. Graham?
Yeah, Pastor, I like the analogy that you used. I like the example of the car, because, you know, when you think of a car and you think about driving, most people just look at it as a simple act. But when you understand, like how you said, you have a car, and in that car, there's many controls. And when you come to an understanding of all of the different controls and all the different things that you can do in this car, you're able and you're prepared for every situation. And the same is with walking this Christian journey. There, the Bible has all of these different controls, all of these different things that we have access to, and instructions on how to deal with any and everything, because there's nothing new under the sun. So there is instruction that God gives us on how to deal with any and every situation. And like you were talking about, relationships with your children, relationships with your spouses, all of these things are outlined for us. But if you're in a car, and maybe this car is new to you, and the control, you know, these new age cars are a lot different than cars, how they used to make them. And so if you don't have an understanding of even where the ignition is, some of these cars are push-button start, and some people are looking for a hole to put a key in. But until mm-hmm. you come to a comfort level with this car and understand, oh, this is how I unlock it. This is how I turn it on. This is how I operate this. When you have that understanding and that comfort level, you're able to move smoother. You don't have mm-hmm. to stop and pull to the side of the road and take a layover to figure out how do I get to the next step. And the same thing mm-hmm. applies to us in this Christian journey. If we are not in a relationship with God, if we are not following the instruction, if we are not getting the wisdom and the knowledge and applying the understanding, then what happens is, instead of when the rain comes and we just turn the wiper on, instead of when the fog comes and we turn the fog lights on, instead of us doing those things and being confident and continue to move forward, we then now have to pull to the side. We get derailed from our destiny. We get derailed mm-hmm. from our journey because we weren't yet prepared for this. Now we then stop. We then go look for the instruction and figure out, okay, how do I get to the next step? When if we would do our due diligence and seek him now, mm-hmm. when the rain comes, hey, we say, hey, there goes the wiper. When the fog comes, there goes the fog. Mm-hmm. When mm-hmm. the window gets a little cloudy and it's hard to see our mm-hmm. way, then we're reminded that he will light our path. So, you know, that was such a powerful example that you used because it's very relevant and it makes it so easy to understand.
Amen. And it's just like knowing where the spare tire is. And not only just knowing where the spare tire is, but know how to get it out, know how where to apply the jack, and, you know, how to, you know, take the lug nuts loose first and then jack the car up. It's those instructions and that knowledge. You might have the instructions, but if you don't have the instruction, the knowledge and the wisdom coupled together to get the understanding, it makes it very, very difficult. And so what you were saying about now you get derailed and you're not, you know, going to your destination, you know, it slows you down from getting to your destination. Now you get over on the side of the road. Now you got to pull over. Now you're this time is going by, you know, and because we didn't have the instructions, we didn't have the knowledge coupled with wisdom and the understanding to be able to deal with those situations, you know, just like not knowing where the lights are on a vehicle, you know, and it's dark outside. It's getting dark outside. And so you're like, where's the light switch? Or you get to the point where your fuel is low, but you don't know where the fuel gauge is, or you don't know how to open up the door on the gasoline fill compartment. All of these things come with knowledge and wisdom. And if you don't understand that, you know, when you see that sign that says next gas station, you know, is 50 miles and you're between an eighth of a tank and empty, that you need to stop. Otherwise, you run out of gas. That's because you understand, you have the knowledge of how much fuel your car is going to use. You know, some of the modern cars tell you how far you can go until empty. If you don't understand how to use that or have that understanding, what happens is you're going to run out of gas. You're going to be on the side of the road. You're not going to make your destination at the time that you're supposed to. And again, you know, you relate that to the wisdom and knowledge and understanding that God is trying to give. A lot of times we don't get to the destination. We don't, or we get there late, or we don't get there at all because, you know, we refuse instruction. And we don't want to get an understanding. And when you look at this verse 7, it's just so critical. This verse struck me as a young man. It said, you know, wisdom is the principal thing. He said, therefore, get wisdom. And with all that getting, get an understanding. It's like, oh, my God, get the wisdom, understand what's supposed to be going on. It is so powerful, you know, that God is telling you, you know, this is the principal thing. This is the thing that you really need to get hold of. You really need to get this understanding that God has made a way for you to get an understanding of what's going on in this world. And only God knows the the infinite things that go on in this world. We're finite, but God gives us an insight where we can learn the principal thing of wisdom and get that understanding. And you know, when you look at that verse 8, it says, exalt her, she shall promote thee. Oh, my God. You know, when you exalt wisdom, when you make that principal thing, this thing is going to promote you. And not only promote you, it says, she shall bring thee honor. So not only is it going to promote you, but it's going to bring you honor, this principal thing of wisdom. And he says, embrace her. He said, you know, when you embrace it, when you say, hey, these instructions are powerful enough to bring promote me and to bring me honor, and they're going to be like an ornament of grace, a crown of glory. You know, why wouldn't I want to sit down and get these instructions? Why wouldn't I want this grace, this crown of ornament? Why wouldn't I want this honor? Why do I want this promotion? Why wouldn't I want this knowledge and wisdom and understanding to be able to deal with my wife and my family and my kids, because that's going to generate so much of a blessing in my life, not only my life, but the life of my family and the life of those around me. Why would I continue to remain a fool and hate knowledge? It just doesn't make sense. When everything points to me living an abundant life, when I get these instructions, when I get these doctrines, when I get this understanding, when I get to this principal thing, when a young man grabs a hold of that, it's like power. It's like opening up a new world for him to say, hey, God created this world. He knows how it operates. Let me get the instructions from him, and I will be a powerful force for him. For my family, for myself, and for my community, if I can get this principal thing and get this knowledge and wisdom and this understanding. Dr. Graham?
Yeah, I think, you know, yeah, some people are book smart, but they have no common sense. I think wisdom is a little like common sense. It's not good enough to be smart. You can be smart and read all the textbooks and have a whole lot of facts in your head, but if you can't apply that into real life situations, then no matter how smart you are, you still gonna make stupid decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And you still gonna have to learn things the hard way because of the lack of common sense. And to me, what the world calls common sense, I look at that as being wisdom.
Absolutely, and you can know the Bible backwards and forwards in every verse, but if you don't have the wisdom directed by the Holy Spirit to know how to apply it, again, like you said, you'll make the same old mistake. It's a thing of, like you said, surrendering, humbling yourself, and learning, and then learning how to apply it. If we as men could do that, humble ourselves, learn, and learn how to apply it, so many situations in our life would be more better, would be better off, would go a lot smoother. But the enemy wants us to remain foolish and unwise, and so that's the thing, that's the message that the men that do have wisdom and coupled with knowledge that we have to continue to put out there, continue to encourage, just like the Bible continues to encourage us to study, to show ourselves approved unto God. And then that 2 Timothy 2:15, it says that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. In other words, it says if you study in a manner that's pleasing to God, you will learn how to rightly divide the word of truth. In other words, you get the knowledge coupled with wisdom, so when the situation comes, you can rightly divide the word. You know how to apply it. And that is one of the biggest things. Like, it's good doctrine, it's sound doctrine, but it's not the feel-good doctrine. And the mindset of a child is they are open in there and they're eager to learn. Whereas as you get older, what happens is you get set in your ways, you get a taste of the feel-good stuff, and like you said, it might become boring to you. The doctrine might you know, be like, yeah, I know. And you take it for granted. But these things are there that you might have life. And so when we look at what the word of God says, it tells us that you can have life when you look at verse 13 in that chapter 4 of Proverbs. It says, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. So, you know, you're talking about living a life, an abundant life, and he's telling you to keep this instruction and to take hold of it because it is your life. So when someone's telling you how to live a life, a godly life, a life that's going to be an abundant life, we need to put those instructions seriously. We need to say, this is good doctrine, this is good law, this is good for me. Sort of like your analogy with your vegetables and nutrition that they bring. But, you know, those tater chips sure are good. They're not bringing much nutritional value, but they're good. And you know, the word of God is good. It's good for us. The wisdom of God is good and good for us. You know, the soap operas might entertain us, but really, you know, it's just entertaining. It's not, you know, good for us other than to get a good laugh or a good story. Whereas the word of God, the instructions of God, the knowledge and the wisdom and understanding of God applied to our lives brings us an abundant life that God intends for us to have. Dr. Grant?
And you know, not only that, I don't know anybody who doesn't want to have a good life. I don't know anybody who doesn't want to enjoy life. The thing of it is, no matter whether you're saved or unsaved, no matter whether you take hold to the principles of God, whoever you are, storms are going to come. Hard times are going to come. Challenges are going to come in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
So why not prepare yourself to be as successful as possible in the face of adversity, to know that we don't have to fight the fight on our own. We don't have to walk this journey alone. If we have a helper who will go with us every step of the way, and if we have a teacher who will give us instructions so that when the enemy comes, when challenges come, that we are prepared and we're able to stand, why not?
Exactly. And we want to round out this morning's discussion, and it's a warning. If you look at Proverbs 4, verse 15, it says, or couple it with verse 14, it says, enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men. This is instruction. And it says, avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it and pass away. If you just on a daily basis get some instructions where someone says, don't go that way, it's wickedness over there. Don't pass by this, there's trouble over there. Don't go here or don't turn here because there's trouble there. It's sort of like when you were growing up in the hood or in your community. I was telling my son this the other day, that there were certain places in D.C., there were certain places in Maryland, there were certain places in Virginia, that during certain times of the day or night, you didn't go. You didn't go through there. You didn't go to the store there. You didn't get gas there. You don't mess with the girls over there. You don't go to the go-go or to the club over there. It was just certain places you didn't go, because there were negative things that would happen over there if you went there. And so when these instructions are given to us about life, and then it says, keep her, for she is life, 13 and 14, it says, enter not into the path of the wicked, go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. verse 15, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. And verse 16 says, for they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. And there's people and there's things out there that meet you no good. And if you have been given the instructions to stay away from those things, your life will be so much better. If someone tells you stay away from them, they don't mean you no good. They're not about the right thing. It'll bring a lot of drama in your life. If someone simply gives you that instruction, and you choose not to listen, then you're a fool. And you know, you can't say that no one didn't give you those instructions. And so, you know, we finish up with this is that Christ came that we might have life and we might have it more abundant. He said that he paid a price that we couldn't afford the price. And that's coming out of the proper relationship with God. And he said, I'll pay the price. All you got to do is believe I can pay the price for you. And he said, if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. And I'll put you back in the right relationship with God. And that is the ultimate knowledge coupled with wisdom. But if you keep rejecting that and rejecting that, nobody's going to send anybody to hell. People are going to choose to go to hell because they'll reject knowledge and wisdom of God, that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That is the ultimate knowledge and wisdom for your soul. And so, you know, in that verse 15, you know, and 16, it's talking about the wicked that, and talking about pass by and stay out of those things that will cause you trouble. Hell is real. And verse 15 says, avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, pass away. And you know, this is what the Bible is telling you. You don't want to go there. It's not a place you want to be. It's not a place you want to go. So take the wisdom of God and follow his instruction and choose life. And you'll have an abundant life. Dr. Graham.
No, all I can say to that is amen.
I mean, that's the word of God. And we're so excited about the first word. People tuning in, calling in, going to the archives to share if anyone wants to hear this program broadcast in its entirety. You can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/pastorsaid and scroll down to the on-demand section and go to the first word, and then you can hear this broadcast in its entirety. We are continue looking for a year-long revival with men and men's ministry. Continue to encourage men to seek the wisdom of God and to apply it to their lives so they can have an abundant life in their churches, their communities, and their families. And so this is what it's all about. And we're continuing to encourage men to see what God has called them to be and step up and be that man of God, that mighty man of God that he has called you to be. All right, we're going to close out with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name, we thank you, God, for this first word. God, we thank you, God, for the book of Proverbs, book of wisdom, the instructions that you have given us this morning. God, we just pray that we would continue to be humble enough to seek your instructions of our Father. Not be selfish with it, God, but to share it with others, God, and apply it to our lives and be example of what you have called us to be, the mighty men of God that you have called us to be, God. And God, help us to continue to remain steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing, God, that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. God, bless us as we continue on this Sabbath day, God, that we would desire to worship you in spirit and truth, God, that we would bring honor and glory to your name from seeking your face on today. God, we pray that everyone that is called by your spirit, God, will bring you honor today, particularly the men, God. We pray that you would continue to trouble us, God, that we would be the mighty man of God that you'll call us to be, ultimately that this is done for your glory. And we pray, God, that all of this will be done in Jesus' name. And we ask it all in his name. Amen. All right, that's going to do it for us for the first word. We thank everyone for tuning in and listening in, and we'll see you on next Sunday. God bless.